Welcome, my friends. I pray that you and your loved ones are all doing well. It's an incredible time of change, isn't it? We're so blessed to have this reminder that there is hope ahead and that we have someone we can trust. Let's turn now to God with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Thank you, loving God, for bringing us this time of worship. Refresh us and heal us again. Remind us of the many ways in which you've blessed our lives with your abundant love and your presence. Guide our hearts and our spirits, that we may hear your words and our souls may be stirred into active service to your people. In the name of the Good Shepherd who leads us to life, we pray. Amen.
Joyful, joyful. God of glory, Lord of love, hearts unfold like flowers before thee, roaming to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day.
This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there's something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. And friends, once that's taken care of and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, we're bold and free before God. We're able to stretch our hands out and receive what we ask for because we're doing what he said, doing what pleases him. And again, this is God's command, to believe in his personally named Son, Jesus Christ. He told us to love each other in line with the original command. And as we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely in him, and he lives in us. And this is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us, by the Spirit he gave us. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Well, Al Lindgren is professor at Garrett Theological Seminary. And apparently, he once had a very surprising and unexpected conversation with his teenage son. His son asked him, "Dad, what is the toughest thing that God ever had to do?" Wow. I mean, even as a seminary professor, Lindgren thought about it and still had no answer. And finally, he asked his son, "Well, what do you think it was?" And his son said, "Well, since taking science in school, I thought the creation of the world might be the hardest thing God ever had to do." And then in Sunday school, we got to talking about some of the miracles. And I thought, well, maybe the resurrection might be the toughest thing God ever tried to do. But after thinking about it some more, I decided the toughest thing God ever had to do is to get us to understand who he is and that he loves us. You know, as I look at today's scripture, I have to say it brings me both joy and sorrow. Joy that God loves us so much and invites us in to make a difference in the lives of others. But sorrow knowing that as much as I try, I still fall so short and feel I should be somehow doing more. Well, many of us suffer by beating ourselves up, but whoever really thinks about the solution to our pain is not finding ways to satisfy our own desires, but by living sacrificially for the good of others. So much of what we do and what gets in our way is self-protection, a sense that we have to look out for ourselves, that that's just being smart. But what if we could really believe that we are truly loved, that even in our darkest times, God never abandons us? One of the interesting and sometimes unexpected effects of giving birth to a child is a realization that you would do anything for that child. You'd give the ultimate sacrifice and even give your life for that child. That helpless little being whose life depends on you and your care. To know that feeling, loving someone so much that you'd sacrifice yourself for them is really the beginning of understanding just how great God's love is for us. Last week, we spoke of the importance of forgiveness. And the sad obstacles to both love and forgiveness really come down to this: judgment. As long as we're judging others, we can't forgive them, and we can't really love them. And as long as we're judging ourselves, we can't forgive ourselves or love ourselves. And if we hold ourselves in judgment, well, then we can't love ourselves and we can't forgive or love others. I know it's complicated, but it's all tied together. As Nancy Kraft so well puts it, loving and judging are opposites. If you're loving someone, it means you're not judging them. And if you're judging someone, it means you're not really loving them. She also asks a really profound question. She says, when we give to the poor, are we giving in love or are we giving in judgment? Well, this kind of struck a chord. As many of you know, we've been blessed to be part of Family Promise, which has been helping homeless families in Warren County since 2008. And one of the things that has always stunned and confused me has been hearing about the challenge of helping volunteers to not judge the families they're there to help. As much as we hate to admit it, any of us can fall into that trap. So I was especially intrigued to hear a story about Robert DeVincenzo, a famous golfer from Argentina. He just won a tournament and he'd received his check and he was posing for pictures. He did all the things a winner does after a golf tournament. And then finally, he was done and he's walking alone to his car and he's approached by a young woman. And she congratulates him on his win and goes on to tell him about her child who was seriously ill and near death. She didn't know how she was going to pay the doctor's bills, the hospital expenses. Well, he was deeply moved by her story, so he actually took out his pen and endorsed his winning check and handed it over to the woman. He gave it to her and he told her to make some good days for her baby. Well, funny thing is, the next week, as he was out having lunch, a PGA official stopped by his table and he said, "Some of the boys in the parking lot last week told me that you met a young woman out there after you won that tournament." And Vincenzo nodded and he said, "Yeah, he had. Well, I'm afraid I have some bad news for you. She's a phony and she doesn't have a sick baby. She's not even married. And well, I'm afraid she fleeced you, my friend." "You mean there is no baby who's dying?" De Vincenzo said. "That's right," said the official. De Vincenzo replied, "That's the best news I've heard all week." "Well, that's not exactly what you'd expect, is it? But that's the kind of crazy love that you and I are called to share. Not just an emotion, not just fuzzy feelings, but we have to realize that love is our gift from God. And he calls us in turn to share the kind of love that genuinely cares as much about others as we care for ourselves. And to give of ourselves, that's what we were made for. And as we do, amazing things can happen. I'll give you an example. Apparently, there's a special hospital in London, and it's designed for those who are diagnosed as having terminal illnesses. Most of people would probably consider a hospital like that to be a really sad place. But actually, this hospital is filled with hope and a lot of life, because the emphasis in this hospital is on life and not on death. See, apparently some of the patients have even seen remissions in their diseases and actually been healed. And that's pretty amazing, right? But the hospital handles things in a very different way. In this hospital, the patients are expected to give themselves away in service to the other patients. Each patient is actually given another patient for whom to care. So for example, a person who's unable to walk might be given the task of just reading to another who's blind. The blind person might then push the wheelchair of the one who can't walk, but who gives directions on where to push the chair. And each one, through doing those little acts of kindness for each other, is empowered and strengthened, not by looking out for themselves, but in their brokenness, by looking out for others. Kind of reminds me of another story that's been shared over the years. It's about how in a small French country village before World War II, there was this beautiful marble statue of Jesus with his hands outstretched before him, standing in the courtyard of this quaint little church. But during World War II, a bomb struck nearby and it broke the statue into pieces. When the fighting ended, the village members of that little church set about to find the pieces of the statue. And they patiently tried to put it back together. And surprisingly, they were able to get most of it together, and they were struck by how the brokenness actually seemed to add to its beauty where the pieces were put together. But sadly, the hands of the statue had been completely destroyed. So they started to try to think of solutions. Because as one person said, a Christ without hands is no Christ at all. We need to see his hands reaching out to us. Well, someone suggested that they just go ahead and try to get a new statue. But then someone else came up with an idea that touched them all deeply. He said, what if we got a brass plaque and attached it to the statue's base that read, I have no hands but yours? My friends, as Teresa of Avila put it 500 years ago, Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. That, my friends, is real love. And as scriptures say, this is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. Let us love by actually putting it into practice. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, we confess that we hear news and moan about all the evil in the world. We wonder, where are you, God? Even as we turn our backs on the needs of the poor. And then we cry, why isn't God taking care of all this? Forgive us, patient Lord. Forgive us when we could have done something to help someone else, but chose instead to turn away. Help us to trust you, Lord. Help us to praise you and remember that you've called us to be your witnesses and workers in this world. Give us courage and strength, joy and peace for all that you have for us to do. We confess our souls are weary, O God. We hear too easily the noise of this world. We witness the terror and trauma all around us. And we long for the days when life seems so much safer and simpler. In this spirit, we come seeking your peace and hope. In the midst of all that is difficult, let us never forget that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows our name and our needs. He listens for our cries and responds in love. And so today, we offer the names and situations of illness, mourning, stress, and concern, which touch our lives and our souls. We pray for their healing and restoration. Oh, may your abundant love flow over them until they are more than filled. May you be with all these dear ones in their situations and needs. And may you be with us, strengthening us, restoring us, healing us, challenging us to witness to the good news of salvation. In the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, in the midst of all that you fear, know that God forgives you. God is with you, and God will never abandon you. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, laid down his life for you and offers you hope and peace. Amen. And now may you go in God's love, God's mercy and forgiveness, God's strength. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen, and God bless you.